Few drugs live as many lives at once as dextromethorphan. It is in the cough syrup in almost every American medicine cabinet. It is a staple of adolescent drug abuse warnings under names like robo-tripping and triple C. And it is the pharmacologically active half of Auvelity, one of the most discussed new antidepressants of the decade. These are not three different molecules that happen to share a name. They are the same compound, behaving differently depending on dose, formulation, and who is metabolizing it. This article is education, not medical advice. One molecule, three reputations. Understanding DXM means holding all three reputations together because each is true and none is the whole picture. Through the pharmacy door, it is a mild 60-year-old antitussive. Through the neuroscience door, it is a genuinely complex, multi-target molecule in the dissociative family. Through the harm reduction door, it is a legal high whose real dangers are subtler than the molecule itself. The through line connecting all three is a single, unusually variable step of liver metabolism, a quiet origin, the non-narcotic cough drug. Dextromethorphan belongs to the morphinin class. Structurally, it is the methylated, dextrorotatory, right-handed, mirror image of the opioid analgesic levorphanol. That handedness matters enormously. Where the left-handed morphinins are potent opioids, DXM has negligible mu-opioid activity, which is exactly why it was pursued. It emerged from mid-1950s U.S. Navy and CIA-funded research into non-addictive substitutes for codeine, then the standard cough suppressant, and was approved for over-the-counter sale in 1958, marketed as Romalar, Journey and Bentley, Stat Pearls. It suppresses cough by acting centrally on the medullary cough center, and a 1976 FDA advisory panel deemed it generally recognized as safe and effective. For its first several decades, it was in every sense unremarkable, a mild, non-opioid antitussive. Mechanism, an NMDA antagonist, and much more. What makes DXM scientifically interesting is that its boring antitussive activity sits on top of a genuinely complex central pharmacology. Its headline mechanism is uncompetitive, open channel, antagonism of the NMDA glutamate receptor. The same fundamental action that defines the dissociative anesthetics ketamine and phencyclidine, PCP, and that nitrous oxide shares. Blocking NMDA receptors is what pushes DXM at high enough concentrations into dissociative territory. The sense of detachment from body and environment that links it to that family. But NMDA antagonism is only the lead instrument. DXM is a true multi-target molecule, a high-affinity sigma-1 receptor agonist, a target now of intense interest in mood and neuroprotection research, an inhibitor of the serotonin and norepinephrine transporters, giving it SNRI-like activity, an antagonist at several nicotinic acetylcholine receptor subtypes, alpha-3-beta-4, alpha-4-beta-2, alpha-7, and a blocker of voltage-gated calcium channels, Taylor et al., Pharmacol Thayer, 2016. This convergence, glutamatergic, sigma, monoaminergic, cholinergic, is the pharmacological reason a single compound can plausibly touch cough, involuntary emotional expression, depression, and dissociation, Nguyen et al., PLOS 1, 2014. One more layer is essential, dextrorphan, DXM's major active metabolite. The body strips a methyl group from dextromethorphan to produce dextrorphan, which is a more potent NMDA antagonist than the parent drug and a key contributor to the PCP-like effects seen at high doses. Much of what DXM does is actually being done by what the liver turns it into, which is why metabolism is not a footnote here, but the center of the story. CYP2D6, the metabolic hinge that everything turns on. The enzyme that converts DXM to dextrorphan is cytochrome P450-2D6-CYP2D6, one of the most genetically variable enzymes in human pharmacology. People fall along a spectrum from poor metabolizers, little functional enzyme, to extensive, normal to ultra-rapid metabolizers, and the consequences are large. In one classic pharmacokinetic study, DXM's elimination half-life was roughly 29.5 hours in poor metabolizers versus about 6.6 hours in extensive metabolizers given the same dose, clinpharmacol, PMID 7593709. Extensive metabolizers clear the parent drug so fast, it is often undetectable in plasma. Poor metabolizers accumulate it. This is why individuals react so differently to the same cough syrup and why DXM has long been used as a research probe for CYP2D6 activity. This same enzyme is the reason modern DXM medicines are combination products. If you want dextromethorphan to reach and hold therapeutic brain levels reliably in everyone, you have to stop CYP2D6 from shredding it. So the medicines deliberately co-formulate a CYP2D6 inhibitor, quinidine, an old antiarrhythmic, used at subcardiac doses purely as a metabolic blocker. Inuadexta, and bupropion itself an antidepressant, and a CYP2D6 inhibitor, inovolite. In both, the second ingredient's job is largely to raise and stabilize dextromethorphan exposure, turning genetically variable extensive metabolizers into something closer to a controlled, poor metabolizer profile. Stahl, CNS Spectrums 2019. The FDA medicines built on DXM. The first was Nuadexta, dextromethorphan 20 mg, quinidine 10 mg, approved in October 2010 for pseudobulbar affect, PABA, the involuntary, often mismatched laughing or crying that occurs in conditions like ALS, multiple sclerosis, stroke, and brain injury. Its pivotal STAR trial randomized 326 patients with ALS or MS and found dextromethorphan quinidine significantly reduced the rate and severity of PBA episodes versus placebo. Pioro et al. And Neural, 2010. Notably, the FDA label itself states that the mechanism by which DXM relieves PBA is not fully understood, a candid acknowledgement that receptor binding and clinical benefit are not the same thing. The larger story is Ovaliti, XS05, a dextromethorphan bupropion extended-release tablet. In August 2022, it became the first oral NMDA receptor antagonist approved for major depressive disorder and the first genuinely new oral antidepressant mechanism for MDD in decades, Pharmacy Times, 2022. Its evidence base rests on two trials, the Phase 3 Gemini trial, 327 adults with moderate to severe MDD, which met its primary endpoint on the Montgomery-Åsberg Depression Rating Scale with remission rates of 39.5% versus 17.3% at week 6, Iosifescu et al., J. Klin Psychiatry 2022, and the Phase 2 Ascend trial, which showed superiority over bupropion alone, Tabuteau et al., MJ Psychiatry 2022. The headline claim is speed. Statistically significant separation from placebo as early as week 1 to 2. The proposed reason is mechanistic kinship with ketamine, rapid NMDA receptor modulation, and downstream glutamatergic effects delivered as a daily pill rather than an infusion. That is a real difference, but the ketamine-like framing should be read carefully. The effect sizes are more modest than in infusions, and the rapid onset story is a plausible mechanism, not a settled one. The newest development is a genuine 2026 update. On April 30, 2026, the FDA expanded Ovaliti's approval to treat agitation associated with Alzheimer's disease dementia, making it the first non-antipsychotic drug ever approved for that condition, FDA News Release 2026. The approval rested on a placebo-controlled trial and a randomized withdrawal relapse prevention trial showing significantly longer time to relapse of agitation. It is worth flagging honestly that the program was mixed. A second placebo-controlled trial, Advance 2, missed its primary endpoint in 2024, so the approval reflects a body of evidence with one clear miss in it. Axum Biospace 2024. Ovaliti also carries a boxed warning for suicidal thoughts and can lower seizure threshold and raise blood pressure. The bupropion inheritance. Recreational use, the Four Plateaus. At doses far above the 10 to 30 milligrams used to suppress a cough, dextromethorphan becomes a dissociative hallucinogen. Users and harm reduction literature describe a characteristic dose-dependent progression through four plateaus. Roughly a first plateau, 100-200 milligrams of mild stimulation and euphoria. A second, 200-400 milligrams likened to alcohol intoxication with impaired coordination and some hallucination. A third, 300-600 plus mg of pronounced dissociation and distorted perception. And a fourth, often cited from 500 milligrams into the 1,000 plus mg range, of near-complete dissociation described as ketamine or PCP-like, recreational use overview. The practice goes by names including robo-tripping, dexing, and skittling. The honest framing here is neither dismissal nor panic. DXM misuse rose among U.S. adolescents in the 2000s, driven precisely by its legality, low cost, and its just medicine perception, which prompted an industry-led education campaign and the wave of state age restriction laws discussed below. National survey data suggests teen misuse has been relatively stable in recent years rather than surging, though perceived risk remains low. This publication does not provide dosing or how-to guidance. The plateau framework matters because it explains why the risks scale so steeply with dose. Safety and harms held honestly. DXM's own acute risk profile at high doses includes tachycardia, hypertension, agitation, nausea and vomiting, hyperthermia, and, at the highest plateaus, a dissociated, sometimes frightening state with impaired judgment and coordination. But an evidence-forward account has to be precise about where the worst dangers actually come from. The first is serotonergic drug interaction. Because DXM inhibits serotonin reuptake, combining it with monoamine oxidase inhibitors, MAOIs, is contraindicated and can precipitate life-threatening serotonin syndrome. Fatal cases are documented, especially with MAOI overdose, Schwartz et al. Hardy. Clintoxicol, 2008. High doses of DXM combined with SSR can also trigger it. This is not a fringe concern. It is why both Nudexta and Auvelity carry explicit serotonergic interaction warnings. The second, and arguably the most underappreciated, is the combination product problem. DXM is rarely sold alone. It is bundled into multi-symptom cough and cold formulas with acetaminophen, antihistamines, guaifenesin, and decongestants. Someone taking a large dose to reach a DXM plateau is unavoidably taking a large dose of everything else in the bottle. Acetaminophen at those quantities risks liver toxicity. The popular triple C, coricidin HBP cough and cold, pairs 30-mia DXM with the antihistamine chlorpheniramine, layering dangerous anticholinergic and cardiac toxicity, seizures, and serotonergic load on top of the dissociative effect. Many of the most severe DXM-associated emergencies trace to the co-ingredients, not to dextromethorphan itself. Third are the CYP2D6 interactions that run in both directions. Drugs that inhibit CYP2D6, many SSRIs, bupropion, quinidine, raise DXM levels and can intensify effects, and DXM sits in a metabolic web with many common medications. Dependence and a withdrawal syndrome can develop with heavy chronic misuse. Abuse Liability Review 2025. As with the whole molecule, the danger is contextual, dose, combination, co-medication, and metabolizer status, rather than intrinsic to a single tablet. Regulatory status in 2026. Federally, dextromethorphan remains over-the-counter and unscheduled in the United States. In 2010, an FDA advisory committee explicitly considered whether to make DXM a controlled substance and voted against it, reasoning that scheduling would unduly restrict access to hundreds of legitimate OTC cough products. Subst Abuse Treat Prev Policy 2016. The FDA has continued to warn about abuse while preserving OTC status. Bulk unfinished DXM powder is treated as a separate concern. Illinois bans the pure form, and states such as Kentucky restrict possession of pure DXM. The action has instead happened at the state level through age 18 sales restrictions. California was first in 2012. By late 2019, the industry association counted roughly 20 states with such laws, CHPA 2019, and more than 20 states now prohibit selling DXM-containing products to anyone under 18, typically requiring ID unless the buyer plainly appears to be 25 or older. The specifics vary by state, and the landscape is still shifting. Regulatory status changes? Verify current federal and state rules before relying on any of this. The honest bottom line. Dextromethorphan is the rare drug whose reputation genuinely depends on which door you enter through. Through the pharmacy door, it is a 60-year-old, well-characterized, low-risk cough suppressant. Through the neuroscience door, it is a multi-target NMDA antagonist whose metabolite dextromethorphan and whose CYP2D6-dependent kinetics make it a compelling scaffold, one now built into real, FDA-approved medicines for pseudobulbar affect, depression, and Alzheimer's agitation. Through the harm door, it is a legal dissociative whose greatest dangers come from high doses, serotonergic combinations, and the other ingredients riding along in the bottle. The limitations of the evidence are real. The rapid antidepressant mechanism is a strong hypothesis rather than a closed case. Some pivotal trials have missed, and long-term data are still accumulating. Holding the ordinary and the extraordinary together, an OTC staple that is also a dissociative and now a psychiatric medicine, is the only accurate way to think about dextromethorphan. OTW. Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. Dextromethorphan is safe and effective as an OTC cough suppressant when used as directed. The medicines described here, Auvelity, Nudexta, are prescription products used under medical supervision. High-dose or recreational DXM use and combining DXM with MAOIs, SSRIs, or multi-ingredient cough products carries serious risk. If you suspect an overdose or serotonin syndrome, high fever, rigidity, agitation, rapid heart rate, or confusion, seek emergency care or contact Poison Control, 1-800-222-1222 in the U.S. This article is education, not medical advice.